Hare Krishna. I want to affectionately welcome all of you for this very special Gaura Leela evening. It is very special because of the subject matter. Maybe you knew a few days ago was the appearance day of a very important devotee in our line. Actually, one of the members of the Panchatattva, he's on the, your right side, the most magnificent or charitable or generous Srivas Pandit. So I will talk about this a little bit. I will just... let me just get a few things together before I start. I wish to welcome also the devotees or guests who have come for the first time. I should introduce you to the subject matter. I believe a few years ago, Kalakanta knew exactly, was it 7 years ago when we started Gaura Leela, or 10 years, or?
We started in Fasanenstraße. So Fasanenstraße, we started 2007, 10 years ago. But the question is, when we started Gaura Leela?
2009.
Yeah.
2009. Okay.
So we are in our 8th year, where we meet mostly in from 2 weeks to 2 weeks, and we celebrate the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful or magnificent incarnation of Krishna, the most, let me say, he's called the Kripa Avatar, the avatar who has come to give unconditional mercy. Usually when we think of getting anything spiritual, we sometimes feel, oh, I have to do something for it. I have to fulfill a condition. In fact, we think always like this. I have to fulfill a condition to be loved and accepted by others. I have to be maybe intelligent or strong or free-minded, or in some ways I have to bring something in order to be loved. But the avatar or appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it very clear that even sinners and people who are really not spiritual can very easily be overwhelmed by an ocean, not just a drop, an ocean of bhava or transcendental ecstasy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many devotees who helped him, but he expanded himself in five truths, so to say, five tattvas, five entities which are very special, and one of those is Srivas Thakur, that you could call it him the paradigmic devotee, that means the archetype of a devotee. And how this is so, and what is the speciality of him, and how let me say, what is the significance for us, how we can contact him and his gift, is the subject matter of today's evening. And maybe I think it will be a second evening also, because we can't cover everything in one evening. It is giving me great pleasure that today our priest Amara Prabhu has also come. It's a great source of joy to see Amara Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So we will sing a little bit before we start discussing this. I have brought with me a new raga, and we are trying to sing this today. Krishna. I wanted to say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, it is similar to when Lord Krishna appears. Before the divine appearance, his great devotees, his helpers come. And one of these great devotees of Lord Krishna, who appeared prior or before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, is Srivas Pandit. Now, just this morning, when I looked into the new, you know, arrivals in the internet, new letters and so on, I found one newsletter where a very amazing secret about this great devotee was revealed, and I felt really that Krishna had made this arrangement so that you can hear this this evening. It's from a very ancient text. The Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana. It describes a meeting long, long, long ago, before this age started. A meeting between Narada Muni, the great saint, and the goddess of devotion, or Bhakti Devi. It was just at the beginning of this age, really into maybe the first 10 years of the age of Kali had transpired. And Narada Muni saw that the state of devotion of Bhakti Devi was deplorable. Deplorable means you can only lament about it. So Narada, who is very much linked to Bhakti Devi, in that both the goddess of Bhakti Devi is the goddess of devotion, and he is the embodiment of the Bhakti Shakti. It means the devotee himself. So the devotee and devotion are always very, very, very connected. And the devotee wishes to protect, usually, his devotion to Krishna. He wants it to be alive and well. So Narada Muni said to Bhakti Devi, "I am known all over the universe as the greatest of Hari's servant. But today I want to say I will only deserve this name, the greatest of Krishna's servant, if I will be able to protect you, Bhakti Devi, even in the age of Kali." So he said, "O beautiful faced lady, I must tell you, there is no age equal to that of Kali." Now you might think, well, he will now say, "Oh, it's a really bad age, everything is really down to the minimum standard," and so on. But Narada Muni has a different perspective. He says, "There is no age equal to the Kali age, because in this age I will personally preach your glories in each and every home and establish you within the hearts of each and every individual." Hear my vow. I'm giving a very severe vow now. Hear what I will declare. I will be there where there are devotional festivals which take a higher role than other forms of religiosity. The living entities who are born in this age of Kali will be able to become devotees who attain the eternal kingdom of God without any hindrances, even if they are sinners. And I will personally take care of this. So with this vow, Narada Muni stopped speaking. I don't know if you have ever done a very difficult or undertaken a very difficult vow. It's really not easy to live with this if you have done it, because you wish to fulfill it. That's the reason of vows. That's why you take them in the first place. So Narada Muni must have felt a little bit under pressure when he said he would spread Krishna the bhakti in each and every home, and he must have thought, how will I do this? And he did it with a genius plan. He took a very suitable incarnation to do it. He took this avatar incarnation at a very suitable time. That is the time when the most merciful Lord had appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he became one of his main helpers to spread Krishna consciousness in the age of Kali as Srivas Thakur. Now there's a saying I want to say this. It doesn't come from our tradition, it's from the Sufi tradition. But I have found the same saying also in the Orthodox Christianity. And it is something which you can check against your own experience. I'm sorry. The saying says, he upon whom God is about to confer a high office will be tested. I remember I have heard this saying the first time from the lips of Martin Luther King, you know, the man who had the dream that everyone will be able to have equal rights. Also those who are born in black bodies. You can't believe how much this man, who later, at the cost of his own life, brought this concept of equality into the Western society, you know, how much he was tested, how much he was tempted. You can't also believe how much people who have done something big in the world, who are remembered, how much they had to undergo tests. I remember just Confucius, the Chinese wise man, who was driven out of his country for 11 years and who had to undergo the most severest of tests. I mean, all his books were stolen from him. he and his disciples were threatened to be killed, you know, whenever he would talk about it. He talked about equality and that everyone should get a good education to make most of their life. He abolished all these rituals, you know, like one ritual was that people were buried in the grave of their master, you know, or their superior. It's almost, you know, if Gadadhar would die, then all of you would be put into his grave. That was the Chinese rule. I think no one of you even would like to entertain such a possibility. Nor do you see yourself in this role and relationship. But I just wanted to tell you the inhuman situations against which Confucius protested, and he was hated for this by nobility, the adligen of his time, and was sometimes almost killed. Anyone who does something big in his life will be tested, because these tests are almost like, you know, if you want to make a good sword, you will have to put it into hot fire and you have to bang it with a hammer. So it strengthens those who are committed to a great cause, to a great purpose. It strengthens them if they go through some ordeals. So Shiva's Thakur was no exception. And we will hear a little bit about it, but let's start with a peaceful episode of his life. He came from Sylhet, which is now Bangladesh, and settled at the bank of the Ganga in Shridam, Mayapur. He had three younger brothers, Ramai, Srinidhi, and Sripati, and they built a house which was quite amazing. It is a very unusual style. The house had many blocks, or blocks is maybe, sounds almost like the soziale Wohnungsbau, you know, sections, which were all centered around one inner court. And in this court, there was a tree. Some of the biographers say it had come from the spiritual world, because this tree of, let me say, Madhavi flowers, they smell very, very nice, was bearing flowers throughout the year. Shiva's Thakur had this amazing flower-bearing tree, which was you know, the branches went in arches. It was really beautiful, and you could smell the fragrance of these flowers all over. He also made a big flower garland, garden, so that soon his, and what he did is he held a kirtan and Bhagavad Kathas, or readings of the Bhagavatam in his house. So soon, the few devotees who lived nearby took this more or less as their home. Like we can see, we have here in the castle a temple room, and the devotees who live nearby, they like to go to this temple room. They like to sing. I heard yesterday was a wonderful kirtan evening, and today is Gaura Lila evening, and there are other festivals going on throughout the year. Although this is more like a working space and a living space, but this temple room is maintained here by the residents of the castle. So Shrivas Thakur was at that time the only one who kept a devotional facility open, and soon all the devotees came. He made friends with great devotees, the greatest friends of Shiva's, who lived just, it said, 100 bow lengths from his house. That's about 200 meters. The biggest friends were, anyone knows? He was one of them. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. They came from the same area, Silhet. And then there was Advaita Acharya, there was Chandrashikar, and the two singers, Vasudev and Mukunda Datta. They all came regularly to the house of Otto Shiva's Pandit to pick flowers for their puja and read the scriptures together. It was a wonderful time. This was like a small little place of devotion for Krishna in an ocean of atheism, which was at that time very much prevalent in Navadvip. Shivas Thakur lived such a simple life that it's almost adorable. He, from his little, from his place, you know, he would only have to walk a few meters, and then there was Mother Ganga, and he took every morning a morning bath in the sacred river. He spent his day reading the scriptures and worshipping Lord Vishnu. And he was a very good scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam, whom from time to time went to lectures which took place in the house of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya lived in Shantipur, but he had also a small little house in Navadvip, and the greatest devotees of the time met in the house of these two, Srivas Pandit and Advaita Acharya. He was so much renounced from material life that he did not adopt any profession whatsoever to earn, although he had a large, large family to maintain. There were many people who lived in this Anwesen, we say in German, estate in English. And it is said that everyone was a devotee, even the dogs and the cats who lived at this house, because there was an atmosphere of devotion. Later, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he tested Shivas Thakur. He said, "You are just reading the books. You should either earn money for your household, or you should just renounce and walk all over the world as a sannyasi. What is this? You are a householder, but you are just reading the scriptures, worshipping Krishna, never making any money." Like Tushta Krishna. now he makes so Shivas Thakur. Now he makes. Shivas Thakur took his hands and clapped them together three times. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Now you're not even speaking to me. You're so unusual. What does this mean? Three times you clap in your head. I'm talking intelligently to you. Talk back to me." Shivas Thakur again clapped his head three times. "Could you please explain to me what this means?" And then Shivas Thakur said, "This is the first day. When we have nothing to eat in this household, for one day, we will fast. When we have nothing to eat for 2 days, we will also fast. When we have nothing to eat for 3 days, it will not look very good for you. Because you have said that you would maintain your devotees who have exclusively taken shelter at your lotus feet. And because your name is tarnished, da wird Schmutz geworfen auf deinen Namen, we will all go, our whole family, and jump into the Ganga and drown. Wow, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you really have a lot of faith that I maintain my devotees. And because of this faith, I will make arrangements. And then he declared, it is more likely that the goddess of wealth, Lakshmi, will go with her begging bowl from house to house because she has become very pure. It's more likely that this will happen than that I will not maintain you. This is the idea of a fully devoted, surrendered soul. He lives by the mercy of the Lord. I remember the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said, throughout my life, I have never accepted any gift from any human being. Now you might think, hey, but what? Wait a minute. So much donations were given to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to build his projects. But he said, I have not accepted anything from any human being. I have only accepted from Hari and Guru. And what he meant with this is that as a surrendered soul, the Lord is making personal arrangements for the surrendered soul by inspiring people to give bread, chapatis, ghee, and whatever. And the devotee will think it's the Lord who inspires and makes arrangements for me. He doesn't think he is the cause of his wealth, but he thinks the Lord has given it, the Guru and the Lord. This is the mood of a surrendered soul. I know it may sound very foreign to our thinking, but this is how the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains the wealth of the Vaishnavas. You remember there was this hunter who lived by fur trade and meat trade. You know, he hunted animals, and then when he met the great soul Narada Muni, Narada Muni said, this is very bad. You live by hunting. You will get so much karma for all the living beings which you kill, and this hunter had this method that he would not kill the deers or the rabbits quickly. He would shoot them in such a way that it took days for them to die. So you get a lot of bad karma for this. You should practice now what is good for your soul. And the hunter understood, and he requested Narada Muni, can you please give me initiation for the spiritual path of bhakti? Narada Muni said, yes, but first you must break your bow. Means the means of livelihood. Said the hunter, how will I live then? Narada Muni said, I will send you more than enough to maintain yourself. Now this is an idea in the Vaishnava philosophy, that we live by the arrangements of the Lord. And it may be a good concept to think about this. Your own wealth, is it because of your abilities, or is it maybe because of blessings that you have wealth? That Vaishnava prefers to see everything as blessings in a blessed life. Good. So you have so much faith that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I will maintain you. But there was opposition to Srivast Thakur's peaceful life. I told you they had often kirtans, and they went in the night, and they went on behind bolted doors. The compound of Srivast Thakur had very high walls, because you must know he lived at troubled times. There was a lot of unrest in the society which surrounded him. Because of the foreign invaders, the Moguls, Muslims, who controlled the whole area and set up their government there, taxing the people. They were really very hostile against the spread of what they considered to be Hinduism, and they would trample any little enthusiasm for kirtan, for reading Bhagavatam, and just, you know, stop it immediately. Also, the people who lived at that time in Mayapur were not devotees. They were atheists who were trained in logical thinking. They had developed a special style of logic called Nava Nyaya in Navadvip, the new logic, a rigorous system of thinking things through and coming to conclusions with the mind. And you know, when you try to study ultimate truth with your mind, you will not arrive at anything personal or devotional. It doesn't make any sense to a logical mind. What makes sense to the mind as the last conclusion is impersonalism without bhakti. Or at least not bhakti to a personal god, but maybe some diluted forms. Let's have some devotion. It's a good thing to have in the heart, but it may help us a little. But not really as a transcendental spiritual tattva. So, Srivas did not think that he could change the invaders. But the main problem were not the invaders. The main problem were these people, his own people, who were against bhakti, who objected that there was kirtan, because they couldn't sleep in the night. It was really loud, the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes he would shout as loud as 10,000 lions. It's described. He had to maintain the eardrums of his devotees so that they wouldn't split. It was really loud and energetic kirtan, and so on. And these pandits were annoyed by this group of Vaishnavas who were practicing their spiritual life without any shame in a politically highly explosive situation. They thought if the Qazi, the governor, would see that there is a rise of Hinduism with singing and dancing, then he will not only cut the throats of these fanatical bhaktas, he will cut the throats of all of us. Srivas Pandit knew, he could only silence the pandits who were a possible threat, because they would go to the Muslim rulers and complain. If a genius of brain and heart, that's how you say it in English, a genius of brain and heart would be able to silence the scholars of the day, the Hindu scholars, by the only way they accepted defeat, that is by learned discussions. Now there was one scholar in Navadvip whom all the pandits feared like hell. Who was he? Nimai Pandit. You know everything. Nimai Pandit had risen to fame especially after he had defeated the greatest scholar, the champion scholar, you know, like Muhammad Ali was the champ in boxing. Keshava Bhatta from Kashmir was the champion in intellectual wrestling, and Nimai Pandit had challenged this pandit one evening in the at the banks of the Ganga, and he had requested him, "Can you just show that you know a little bit of Sanskrit by composing something about Mother Ganga?" And Keshav Kashmiri said, "Of course." And he began to speak 100 verses who had the rhyme and rhythm of the flowing of the Ganga. Nimai Pandit said, oh, you made two very big mistakes. How could this happen to you? In verse 64 you said, la 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 la, and this is against the rule, da la 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 la, and highly, I'm very, very amazed that you could make such a mistake. Keshava Bhatta was silenced. He was finished. He gave up his scholarship and he became a sannyasi who walked around the world only dressed with a loincloth and thinking about this Nimai Pandit, who was the greatest intellectual giant, even bigger than him. Nimai would challenge all the pandits of Navadvip. He fearlessly walked with his followers over the street, and when he found Albert Einstein, of maybe not Albert Einstein, I want to say a famous scholar, he would challenge him and say, "What do you know about this subject?" And then the pandit would say something, and he was, "I'm surprised that you could have overseen this parameter. I'm very surprised that this is not true what you say. This is true what I say. Do you agree?" And the pandit would say, "Yes, yes." And then Nimai said, "But what I just said is totally wrong for these and these reasons. You don't know anything. Could you maybe go back and start your lessons from the first class again? You have overseen many things." And in this way, he was the greatest genius. And Shiva had his eye on him. If he becomes a devotee, now he just is totally hung up with ordinary things. So one day, something surprising happened. I should tell you. Nimai Pandit, know, he was tall, taller than anything. He had an amazing complexion. He immediately, wherever he came, everyone looked at him as if the sun had risen in their assembly. And Nimai Pandit came into the house of Srivas Pandit, where there was a Bhagavatam reading. And Srivas Pandit immediately asked him, "Where are you going, you most arrogant scholar? Tell me, why do you waste all your time with fruitless learning without ever worshipping Krishna? Day and night you teach your students. What for do you teach them? Is the end of all learning not to attain bhakti for Krishna? Without attaining bhakti, all your learning is in vain. You have studied enough now. It's time for you to serve Krishna." All the students who were with Srivas Pandit and all the students of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were thinking, "My God, now Nimai Pandit will show him." But Gauranga Mahaprabhu humbly folded his hands. He accepted the rebuke with all humility and he said, "Thank you, worshipable Pandit. By your grace, all your blessings will come true in the future. And I will become such a devotee where all the other devotees will come." During this time, it was a few days after this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met the great Bhakta Ishwarapuri. He came down the road, walking through the roads. All the scholars were going another path. They didn't want to mess it up with that's a bad English word. They didn't want to get into a conflict with Nimai Pandit. Ishwarapuri went and said, "Who is this?" And one of the students said, "This is Nimai Pandit." Students, Nimai Pandit. Ishwarapuri said, "Oh, the famous scholar of Navadvip." Gauranga Mahaprabhu paid, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu paid his obeisances to him and said, "I am your servant." Later, he took initiation from Ishwarapuri. He came one day to him and said, "The snake of time is on my heels. It is only a question of a few more days before death will capture me. Please give me freedom from this material entanglement by giving me the sacred mantra. Please initiate me." And Ishwarapuri did this. So at this time in Navadvip, the atmosphere started to really become intolerable. The foreign invaders and occupiers would take people off the street and force them to eat meat, because if someone ate meat at that time, he was ostracized, he was thrown out of his social environment and content. And in this way they forcefully converted many Hindus to their own religion. It was a dark period, and so on. Soon the Qazi, the governor, heard that the Vaishnavas gained strength and now sang openly on the streets. This was too much for the cards. He took it as a show of strength, and I will not tell this in detail, because on the evening before Gokunin, the children of the castle had played a drama here where they showed how the Kazi came in and broke a medanga in one of the kirtans, and then how the Kazi was changed by Nrisimhadev. I will not talk about this. There was a rumor which started that the king was informed that Navadvip was becoming full of blissful chanting and dancing, and the rumor said that he had dispatched an army which was on the way to Mayapur to kill all the Hindus. Shiva knew how mercilessly these foreign invaders dealt with any opposition. There was the great saint Haridas, who was taken out of his little hut, and he was flocked over 24 marketplaces, or 22, I forgot. He was whipped, you know. There was another thing. His best friend, Shiva's, not best friend, I can't say, but one of his friends, Gangadas, who had a school, and his family had been persecuted by soldiers. They had Gangadas had to escape in the night and run to the Ganga. They were fearing violence and torture. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had appeared at that time and come to their rescue in a boat. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew the atmosphere was getting hot, and he responded in two ways. One day, Srivas Thakur was in his room, in his temple room. He did locked the door, and he was doing what all devotees do since time immemorial when there is a threat. He was worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev. Very strongly he worshipped Lord Nrisimhadev. At that time he heard a pounding on the door. It became louder, and he thought, "Whoa, this is the police who is going to break into my house." He heard a voice, not the voice of the police. He heard a loud voice, "I have come, I have come, you have worshipped me." What? The next moment the door broke, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu came in a four-armed form, bearing the discus, the chakra, the lotus flower, the club, and the conch shell. Thank you. And he sat on the altar and said, "I've come. You have. Why are you afraid? I can see you are afraid. But don't you know I'm in the hearts of all living beings? If I do not allow the king to come here, he will have no inspiration to come here, no force to come here. Also, I have tremendous shaktis with me. I can go to the court of the king, and I can spread love of Godhead so much that the elephants will cry, the ministers will cry, everyone will just cry in total love and forget all bad things or maliciousness. If you don't believe me, then see this little girl. And there was a little girl called Narayani. Gauranga Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Narayani, please sing Krishna. Narayani got this electrified, you can say, or empowered with the pure love of Krishna, and started to cry and say, Krishna, 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 Krishna. What I would like to say is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a practical demonstration of changing a person's whole life by giving them a gift of divine love of Godhead. I'm sometimes joking with unfaithful Hare Krishna devotees. I'm saying it like this so that you are a little shocked. What if you really attain love of Godhead? Everything would change. You would no longer be attached the way you are attached. You would not have any interest in fine cloth. You would have no interest in cars, no interest in money, in success. You would be just overwhelmed with love. Is this something you think could happen? Is it something you would allow to happen to your life? It would ruin your life as it is now. It would bring you to a total different dimension. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu wanted to show this. Love is the greatest force, we say, and he showed it in a politically difficult situation. And so on. Shivas Thakur said, I have no longer any fear. I want to say to you what he says. He said, Oh Lord, I'm almost finished. Oh Lord, when in the form of time you annihilate the entire creation, I'm not afraid due to the power of your holy names. So what is there to fear now that you are personally present in my house? I think this is very, very nice. For a devotee who has Krishna in his heart, even all the things which could be fearful, an earthquake, a sudden outbreak of war, is not actually a problem, because he feels he has love of Krishna. Due to his love in his heart, he is no longer afraid. You know, where there is love, fear cannot stay. In this connection, I remember something which one devotee told me. She had gone to the Ukraine to visit her parents, and it was in an area where there was military confrontation. And she was surprised to see that there was a little Krishna temple in the midst of all this, you know, war going on. And she visited the temple. They were singing and chanting. And then she spoke there with the devotees, and the devotees told her that they had escaped and run away in half a year from these military confrontations. But then they had again come back into this area, because there was a very nice devotee staying who was not at all afraid of the gunfire and, you know, this war situation. And they experienced in the presence of this devotee such sweetness while they chanted the holy name. I guess they understood there is no shelter, no other shelter in this world, and therefore they could really focus. And it's like this: when you can focus on your spiritual life, there will be a great, let me say, a great manifestation of your of mercy and of understanding. It will be really nice. Our problem is we are not so focused often, and then our mind is a little bit disturbed. But this devotee told me, I'm living in Luxembourg, and I make clothes for the royal family. I'm their tailor. But I'm thinking of going back to this little house in the war zone of Ukraine, giving up my comfort, because I know when my bhakti is focused and intense, I'm just so happy in my heart. I have no fear. And Shivas expresses this. Oh Lord, when in the form of time you annihilate the entire creation, I'm still not afraid due to the power of your holy names. So what is there to fear now that you are personally present in my house? This is Shivas Pandit's conviction. And he did not just talk about it. He helped to arrange a mass demonstration. That was the answer of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu heard that the Kazi had broken a drum, and he had said, if I catch any one of you again, I will take all his property away, and he will be stripped of his caste. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his form and showed how he can change everything by giving love of God, Srivas Pandit became so convinced, imagine, that they arranged a massive kirtan procession through the nine islands. There were townships everywhere, small towns, and they arranged a massive demonstration. Do you know what this means? You're defying the order of the Kazi. This means now he really has to show his power, otherwise he's defeated. So they had 100,000 of people. Lord Chaitanya danced. He looked like a god of love. He was decorated. His hair, there are some of you who like to arrange the hair nicely, so you will be interested in this. His hair went like this up here, and then there was a little top knot, and there were little Mallika flowers going down like this. No one of you has done this up to now. What's wrong with you? He danced like the god of love personally. He looked like a lightning flash in the darkness, because the procession took place in the night, but it was not dark. All the people were equipped with torches and went dancing with torchlights. It looked as if it was a snake of fire who were going over the nine islands. only that the snake was very long, kilometers long, and very broad, because there were really everyone came out. No one stayed back in the houses. There were some didn't take part. The thieves, they saw everyone had left their houses, so they thought very good and easy work, and they wanted to steal in the houses where there was no one. But when they heard the kirtan, they forgot about their stealing and joined the kirtan. This was how the ecstasy went. I think I should end here. Fearlessly, our Srivas Pandit organized this huge kirtan procession. I feel, when I think of Srivas Thakur, very much about my own life, the biggest problem which we have is in this world is fear. We are often afraid even of our own talents to live our own life. It's said, some psychologist has said, people are not so much afraid of failure as they are of greatness. You know, doing something extraordinary. I can't do this, I can't do this. So, this fear is constantly there, and it is also a problem in spiritual life. Fear of failure, fear of not being loved, fear of many, many things. You know better than me. Srivas Thakur, for me, is really an example of a person who conquered the worst of fear, that is, to be killed. He conquered that by giving shelter to the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and by being one of the organizers of this big, big kirtan procession. There is a verse which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes, which tells us a little bit why someone, how someone can become fearless. It is a verse from the Bhagavatam where Lord Kapila Dev says to his mother, "My dear mother, devotees who are blessed by the Lord are never ever in danger. No weapons can cut them, nor the change of time can destroy their blessings. Because the devotees accept me," means the Lord, "as their friend, their relative, their son, their teacher, their benefactor and supreme deities." Everything is Krishna. Best friend, best relative, best son, best teacher, best well-wisher, best supreme deities. "Because they accept me like this, time does not steal away their lives and their blessings." I think with this we can end our Gaura Lila. That if we have the Lord in our heart, if He is present there, if we are connected with Him, we lose all fear. And the way how this understanding was preached or taught by Srivas Thakur and the devotees at that explosive time was through the singing and chanting of Krishna's holy name. I remember once my spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was asked, what do you personally feel when you chant Hare Krishna? What do you feel? And he gave one of his brief answers, I feel no fear. All the fears which are there, and most probably they are natural for someone who is living in this material consciousness, who has lost his higher connection, all the possible fears can go away when one sees the beautiful image of the Lord in the bottom of his heart. And the way the Chaitanya Bhakti brings this beautiful realization is through the chanting of the holy name. Therefore, I like this verse very much. O Lord, said Srivastava, when in the form of time you annihilate the entire creation, I personally am not afraid because of the power of your holy names which I will chant. So what is there to fear now that you are personally present in my house? I remember this. There was once in our movement, you know, like all human beings, always they like to find something they are afraid of. And there was a great talk of the Third World War, which would be fought with atom bombs, and alternative circles, and also the devotees were thinking, should we equip ourselves with grains? Maybe we should have some bomb-safe shelter, and so on. And Srila Prabhupada was then asked, what would we do if an atom bomb, ping, explodes over our head? And he said, we would feel no fear by chanting Hare Krishna. There was this, I think he must have echoed, said this verse, which is here, Kala Rupi Tomar, Kala Rupi, the form of your time, most fearsome. Vigraha Bhagavane Yakane Sakala Shrishti Samhariyahane. When the whole Shrishti, means the whole creation, is withdrawn, is taken back, I'm not afraid due to the power of your holy name. This was part one. I still have, well, I have to read a little bit more in the scriptures and find more about Srivastava, but my next lecture will be about what happened when Srivastava took his morning bath and then after his bath went to the house of Sachi one day and found Mother Sachi lying as if dead on the ground. She had fainted. What was that all about? What happened? That I will start there. Hare Krishna. We will sing just for 5 more minutes. My Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare
Krishna, 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 Krish
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for participating in this Gaura Leela evening. I feel so blessed to be able to speak about the times of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and have noted more and more that we can understand him through the eyes of his devotees, maybe better than through just, I would say, just reading about him. If we just understand a little how fearful Srivas Pandit must have been, you know, after all, Haridas Thakur had been almost beaten to death when he chanted in public. Ganga Das and his whole family had almost been tortured, and he had to take care of a big, big family, and mainly all the Vaishnavas came to him. And then how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that fear from him and turned the fear really into confidence, deep confidence. Bhakti can be only entered in, or the palace of bhakti, there's only one door which leads into this. It's not understanding. It's not doing good works. These doors cannot lead us into the palace of bhakti. It's only shraddha, or faith. And this faith I see so strongly in Srivas Pandit. So next time I want to tell a little bit more about it. Thank you all very much. I wish you a good night. May Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be merciful upon all of us. May he bless us. May he take away the weakness of our heart and give us faith and conviction and patience also, and enthusiasm, all these qualities. Thank also all of you who joined us on the internet today. See you all again next Gaura Leela evening. Hare Krishna.